All travelers have a trip that bites them with the travel bug and the obsession perpetuates. This impromptu trip to Haiti was the beginning to many more adventures to come.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Marvels and Mishaps of Travel. Today, we're going to be taking you down memory lane with the trip that started it all for Jessica, and we're off to Haiti.
Yeah, so Haiti caught me by surprise because I didn't plan to go there, but I had certainly heard of, a friend of mine and my sister had been, and it definitely piqued my curiosity. So lucky enough for me, in 2015, before I had really gotten into travel, one of my friends invited me to go to Haiti, because her father spent the winters down there, while he did in the summer, was up on Cape Cod doing whale watching. So This was his winter getaway in Haiti with a friend of his, and she was in veterinary school, so it was her break for the winter. She had 4 weeks off. She spent 2 weeks there, and I decided to come down for a week. It was easier because the job I had paid me every other week rather than bi-monthly. So I had that extra Friday paycheck, that third paycheck that I could kind of sneak in and
nice. And pay for my school trip. Does that too. It's always like, yeah, yes, I got a little extra cash here.
Yeah, you got that month, float the gold over, month. Right? Yeah, so I decided to take advantage of it. I booked a flight with United Airlines because it was about 400 round trip. I was super excited. Never been anywhere tropical before other than, Florida. And I just couldn't wait to go. So I was super excited to go. I was really excited to go with this friend. As I mentioned, this was my first international trip aside from Canada as a kid. So it was just, I didn't really care where it was, but I thought that, the fact that it was Haiti and not a lot of people went there made it kind of special.
Yeah, for sure. Cause I don't think I know anybody else who's been to Haiti. Like, it's a place
really?
I know people from Haiti. I've had students from Haiti, but I'm not one of those islands that you think of as like a vacation destination. So I think it's really, not only was it like a cool destination to go to, but also like for your first trip ever.
Yeah. It really, it was eye-opening too, because, the status there as far as like political, socioeconomic issues, the standard of living is drastically different from where we grew up. So for me, it was kind of better to have that juxtaposition on my first trip. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I had gone somewhere in Europe, my expectation of the rest of the world may have been a little different. Whereas with this, because I was faced with certain elements of, poverty or suffering, it was an education to actually go.
Yeah. It's a humbling experience, but it makes you grateful for everything that you have, but then also it just opens your eyes to like what other people are encounter and theirs.
Yeah. And it makes you appreciate the life that you have and realize kind of what the world is like in a way. And you do, when you're there, you really feel for the people who are there. And it's also, it's also amazing to see certain people thrive with what they have too. And I think that's part of why it's humbling, because, we always expect so much. We expect to have all these things and we're still ungrateful for it.
Yeah. Whereas, people complain over the littlest things. And then you think about people in a country like that and they're still so joyful and happy despite all the hardship that they go through.
Right. And in a way it's like, well, why can't we be so grateful for for less, what I'm going to go over in this session is, what activities we did on the trip, what I consumed and all of the different mishaps that I had on this trip. So, and there were plenty of them.
Buckle up.
Yeah, buckle up for the mishaps. So how did we
I
stay
feel like
busy?
There's like extra mishaps when it's like a first trip and you're like an inexperienced traveler and like
yeah, because you're not used to like being in that kind of survival mode where you're right. And you're like learning everything new for the first time and you're like not used to anything being different. You're not used to like having to adapt. So yeah, it was definitely a different experience overall as far as like kind of a shock at first.
Yeah.
So how did we stay busy? Many different activities. I will say that the motto of the trip was hurry up and wait, because I did find that whenever we planned to go somewhere, I would get ready. My friend and I would get ready. And then, everybody else was just like taking their sweet time. And
when you say everybody else, like tour guides
else,
or like
her dad and his friend and like all the people okay. who were taking us there. It was kind of like the energy was just like slow moving. The energy
was it like just like island time? Like people just,
I think it was island
there
time.
There was not
yes.
like an urgency. Right. And
right.
Yeah. And again, a reflection on like, you know, here we are in the United States, like, we're just rushing around constantly, right? We're packing in and like, maybe we all just need to slow down a little bit.
I think so. That definitely seems to be the case. So, but before I got there, I just remembered I had a mishap on the way there. So, so I'm going to talk about that actually. We like talking about our flight mishaps because it's something that we tend to go through when we travel. You mm-hmm. can't really escape it.
And there's a lot of them these days.
Yeah. And you're like at the mercy of the airline. So it's just like how it goes. Yep. So the flight mishap, as I mentioned, I booked with United and the first leg of the flight went from like DC to Fort Lauderdale. And, you know, I met some nurses there. Who nurses on the flight who were on their way to like Puerto Rico, things like that, places that people frequent a little more often. Mm-hmm. And then we get to Fort Lauderdale and we board the flight and I open up my book and I realize, first of all, the book I open is a book I've already read before. It's called Dubliners. Yeah. And I was like, ah, shucks, I'm not going to reread this now just because it's the only book I have. Yeah, so we're on the flight and about 30 minutes in, I'm like, okay, are we going to leave or not? And they decide to call everybody off the plane.
Oh my gosh, it's a Cabo repeat.
A Cabo repeat. And again, a mechanical issue. Mm. So I was just like disgruntled by that. And I went and like sat on the bar, had my drink, pretended I was already on vacation, posted a picture of it on Instagram. And that was just kind of like how I coped with it. But yeah, so eventually they boarded us again a few hours later and I arrive in Haiti kind of towards the evening and my friend, didn't have service on her phone. So I had to like kind of communicate over Facebook with her here and there as she had Wi-Fi. And you know, fortunately we did sync up, but before that happened, I grabbed my bag after going through customs and I tried to ask how to leave, like where the exit was, but I tried to do it in French because French is like the second language of Haiti after Creole. But I kept forgetting the word for exit. So I kept saying l'exit, l'exit. And the guy was like, what? And I go, the exit. And he goes, ah, la sortie. Like, you knew. Like his third language was better than my second. And I was like kind of embarrassed by that because I like hadn't practiced French in a really long time. And I was like, that was a really easy word. And now I feel silly for trying, but like,
you'll
you have
never
to try
forget
anyway.
It again. You'll always
I'll
know
never
that word.
It. Yeah, that's how that works. Like, it's always the thing that you forget that embarrasses you that you remember forever.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I went outside the airport. It was like 9 o'clock and I'm like freaking out that I'm standing outside in the middle of Haiti in the middle of the night by myself waiting for somebody to come pick me up that I can't really communicate with.
That is a little nerve-wracking, yeah.
Like, I was, like, freaking out in both a bad way and a good way. I was like, oh, my God, I'm here. And then I'm like, oh, my God, this is really dangerous. but, you know, they found me. They picked me up. And, like, my friend handed me this prestige beer right away. I mean, you can drink in the car. There's no regulation on that.
Whatever
we
goes.
Just, like, did... Yeah, we pretty much did that the whole time.
I wonder if you would have been just as anxious if it was like, if you were a more experienced traveler or if it was like some like that first trip jitters too.
Yeah, I think some of it was first trip jitters for sure. Mm. But
also Haiti's not known for their safety. We'll say that.
Definitely not. So it was a combination. It was a mixed feelings scenario, a mixed feelings scenario. We stopped at like a convenience store for groceries. And then as we were driving, you could kind of tell the traffic scenario was like, there were people walking along the streets, like in and out of the streets, but then the cars that came wouldn't really stop for them. So everybody would like get out of the way right away. It was a little precarious.
I've been to some parts of the world that are similar.
There was another time I saw somebody was transporting a bunch of goats, but they had them like strung up by their legs with their heads like this, like a few inches off the ground. It was like, it made me sad, actually. I felt really sad, but then I was like, well, this seems like something that happens too. So
culture shock.
It was a little bit of a culture shock for me. Again, that's part of what made it kind of like this education of a first trip. Mm-hmm. So I definitely, as I mentioned, had mixed feelings about it. So afterwards, we arrived at the house that we were staying at. And
so this was you were staying at your friend's dad's, like,
his friend's house.
Getaway, yeah. Like, okay.
Yeah, so his friend had this house, you know, it had like a chicken coop and goats and stuff, and it was on the water, and the staircase was broken on the bottom. Like, it wasn't a complete staircase. You had to, like, step on a chair to get onto the steps, and the staircase went into the kitchen, so it was, like, this kind of awkward scenario where, you know, you were just, that's how you maneuvered throughout the house. And we were lucky enough to have air conditioning in our rooms, and you needed it on to get rid of the mosquitoes because the mosquitoes were pretty bad. Mm. And one of the things about when we were there is the experience of cooking could be a little bit different. So we usually would just cook the coffee on the stove, or, you know, we'd have cereal for breakfast, and then we'd usually eat fish or rice and beans. They catch the fish fresh for us when they went fishing, which was nice. Yeah.
So it's like incomplete staircase, fresh fish daily. I mean,
yeah,
like,
fresh fish daily.
You know, like, these are like, that's something that you think of as like a luxury here, like a freshly caught fish. Like, you pay an arm and a leg in a restaurant for that. There, it's like part of life, right? But then also the stairs were like, didn't reach the ground.
Yeah, you're just like, I'm not really sure what to expect. And the electricity would come on and off. You know, it's like a tropical island, right? So like, if it was stormy, you'd lose electricity for a few hours and then it would come back. So that, again, you know, colored some of the experience. We drank water we had to get those, the like filtered water jugs, things like that. And then the patio on the outside of the house was like this caged in area, where the chickens, you'd be like sitting in this caged patio and you just have like these chickens roam in and out and you just kind of like watch them for entertainment throughout the day, and you just hang out in the patio or go out to the water and walk along the beach, swim to a nearby island. So those were some of the things that kind of made the experience distinctive. So a couple of other interesting things about Haiti. When we were driving around, there was something called a tap-tap.
What is a tap-tap?
Yeah, you can say, what is a tap-tap? So a tap-tap is a form of public transportation. And when you want it to stop, you tap on it. So you call it a tap-tap. And the joke throughout the trip was, how many people can you fit on a tap-tap? And the answer was often one more, or seven more, or six more, because there were just people constantly, like, overflowing on this vehicle. It was like they were hanging off the sides or on the front or on the back. So it was interesting to see. There was no real regulation on
seatbelts, safety,
nothing at all.
No, so, just hang on for dear life.
yeah, exactly. And so that was like kind of one of our fun jokes throughout the trip. But as far as other activities we did besides just hanging out on the beach, going snorkeling, taking the dinghy boat out, going fishing, things like that, we were able to find some other interesting activities. So we did go on a mountain hike up to a beautiful hotel called Mont Joli. And the architecture was really interesting. It was like a wooden outline of a building that also had stone, but was like wide open with plants coming in, and all of these like beautiful paintings. So we went in there, had some drinks. The drinks had like a grenadine flavor to them. And they were alcoholic drinks. We also went to an outdoor nightclub.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. And one of the guys and I had a dance off to teach me how to Dougie, which was kind of funny. and I remember I continuously heard a reggae rendition of the song All of Me, about, you know, the John Legend song, yeah. All of Me. But it was like the reggae version of it. And I thought it was cooler than the regular version. So that was like kind of the song of the trip.
John Legend, if you're listening, we want a remake, a reggae version.
And then one of the things we wanted to make sure we did was go to a local orphanage. There was one there called Be Like Brit, which was named after a volunteer who had been in Haiti, but had been killed by the 2010 earthquake. So we did try to go there and volunteer, but they actually didn't need any volunteers. So we just donated clothing, got a tour of this really beautiful orphanage. You know, there were solar panels on the top. Everything was kind of like blue and yellow. We got to see the kids' rooms, their classrooms, and there was a courtyard area in the middle. It was grassy where kids could play all kinds of games. So it was really interesting to see that as well. One of our favorite places that we went to, which was kind of a hike, was an area called Jacmel. And in order to get to Jacmel, we had to go through the mountains. And it was so windy that I kept thinking that I was going to get sick, but my friend got sick first. So
beat you to it.
Yeah, she beat me to it. And, you know, we were sitting in the bed of this truck on top of a mattress. So it was kind of like a makeshift seat for us as well. We weren't really sitting in a stable way, but that was just kind of what worked for how many people we had in this truck.
Yeah, I feel like I've gotten lazier about this, especially when we had a motion sickness situation on the Cabo trip, if you listened to the last episode. And there are preventative medications to take that are non-drowsy. One of them is called Bonine, B-O-N-I-N-E. They make those like Dramamine, like I don't know if they're Dramamine or like there's like a C-band, like wristband thing. Yeah. I also carry medical grade ginger pills, and those are nice because you can take them like before, during, or after nausea. So just like one of those like packing tips when it comes to like medication. Like there's a couple things I like don't leave home without, like Tylenol, yeah. Imodium, and motion sickness medicine, and Benadryl. Just for like kind of all of the above little pharmacy kits. So just kind of keep that in mind if you're have anything that, you know, better be safe than sorry with motion sickness. It's no fun.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't think anybody enjoys getting sick on the windy road around the mountain. So especially not my friend. So yeah, we went to Jacmel, and the kind of key attraction there that we went to was a waterfall area called Besson Bleu. And in order to get to the waterfall itself, we had to walk along and like basically scale rocks to get to this gorgeous, like aqua green, aqua blue waterfall. And there was like a rock in the middle of the pool area. So you could like jump off the rock into the water. Waterfall came down on top of it. You could climb up where the waterfall was and jump from there as well. And legend has it that it's like 75 feet deep and that there's treasure at the bottom. So there were people who tried to dive for this treasure and died because so who knows how true that is, but
maybe that treasure is still there.
The treasure is still there, maybe it's worth going for. But Besson Bleu is really beautiful, and it's definitely
that sounds like something out of a movie. Jeez.
Another thing I noticed when I was there was that I got a lot of compliments on being beautiful. And I, you know, not that I'm unattractive, but I distinctively noticed it compared to when I'm in the US. And my suspicion is it has to do with this global fixation on having lighter skin. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for those of you who are fair skinned like I am, you may find that in certain parts of the world, a lot of people will give you compliments on how beautiful you are or how fair your skin is. And another interesting distinctive thing about Haiti is that Haitians, in general, it's legal to eat cats and horses. I don't know how common it is, but it's illegal to eat dogs. And what's interesting about that is that during the French rule over Haiti, dogs were used for corporal punishment. Like they were like used to eat people as a form of punishment.
Wait, that I'm confused.
The French government used dogs to kill people.
Oh, so if like a person had done something wrong, they were like fed to dogs?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was pretty brutal. And you, when you were there, like you could tell the stray dogs were like afraid of people. But you could also tell that the people respected the dogs. It was like this kind of fear-respect relationship. It was pretty intense. Yeah.
I wonder if, like, generations of dogs... I guess that would have been, like, generations of dogs later, right? Like, that has, like, carried over.
Yeah, I mean, you think about, like, a lot of things in our culture carry over from generations, too, because that really wasn't that long ago. It was, like,
maybe
a little over 100 years ago, yeah.
They're smarter than we think, I guess.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's just like the culture of how to treat a dog maybe carried over. Yeah. I'm not really sure.
Or maybe the dogs are just like teaching the puppies, like, don't go near them. Like, just stay away.
It could also be, there may just be more stray animals because it's like, if you're living in poverty, you have to take care of yourself and your family and not a pet, you know? Whereas here we have dogs as pets because we can afford to do that. Yeah. So it could just be a culture of like dogs are stray animals that come and beg for food. So we treat them a certain way. Mm-hmm. But hard to say. So as far as the activities, that's most of what we did. We spent quite a bit of time on the beach near the water, doing some hikes, going to nightclubs. And then throughout all of that, I had quite a few mishaps. So mm-hmm. in Jacmel, I tried to get back in the truck. And as I was stepping up to get in the truck, somebody started to pull away and my friend had to shout, stop. And the truck stopped short and I went face first into the mattress.
Oh.
So that was mishap.
At least it was a mattress.
Yeah, at least it was a mattress, because otherwise that would have been real painful. Another mishap that happened, the owner of the house had goats and I was really adamant about petting these goats. So I went up to pet a goat, it ran by me and it gave me rope burn.
I'm sure that goat didn't mean to give you rope burn.
Yeah, it didn't mean to give it to me at all. Sunburns. I got a horrible sunburn along with probably a bunch of mosquito bites. I still had fun, but
which is
it
why
was
the
painful.
Fair skin like is better myth is not good because like
yeah
hello
exactly
the Haitian people don't have to worry about sunburn like
yeah,
you do
not as badly as I do. And then finally, I ate a fruit in Haiti called a mariton. And I didn't realize, but it's a close relative of mangoes, which I'm allergic to. I probably should have realized because the peel looked very similar in thickness. So, of course, I eat this relative of a mango and I break out in hives. And it was later dubbed Jess's favorite fruit. So that
another
was
reason to travel with Benadryl. With Benadryl. Folks, I'm like a walking pharmacy when it comes to travel. Like, because you never know. You never know.
You never know. And then the last one, my friend and I were riding on the back of these motorcycles of some people we knew there. And the motorcycle pulled over on the side to get gas and I stepped off the back of it and my leg hit the exhaust pipe right where my tattoo is. So I felt like something bit me and I looked down and there was just like a patch of just pure white. So I got a second degree burn from a motorcycle exhaust pipe in Haiti. And
did you have to like visit an urgent care or a medical center for that or anything?
We thought about it. We just put some ointment on it. And then when I came home, I had to go to the ER cause I had like, what do you call that? It wasn't tetanus. They gave me a tetanus shot. But I had like a skin infection basically.
Yeah.
So,
well, and that's the thing. I mean, like, I can't imagine that like the hygiene standards are very high in Haiti. And if you had like gone swimming or like done anything else, like active, like with the burn and like that could have caused like some bacteria and
yeah
you're lucky I think actually
yeah I think so too. It wasn't too bad, it could have been a lot worse, but it was a second degree burn that got infected, so and I had to go over my tattoo again. But anyway, the trip to Haiti was a wild adventure and certainly an interesting one. I know right now, there's still a lot of turmoil in Haiti, so it's hard to really recommend going because it's also dangerous to go. But I am very glad that I had the opportunity and took it.
I am too. I feel like you know, a lot of us are like living vicariously, you know, through the stories and everything, and it just sounds like you know, this kind of like exotic, tropical, wild, you know, just sort of, but also like laid back. And I mean, you're talking about hanging out on the beach, snorkeling, island time, like that sounds fresh fish caught daily. I mean, that sounds like a dream. It also sounds like it's probably like a destination to go to if you're craving something that's not super touristy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think part of what made it easy for me to go was that we actually knew locals there.
For sure.
Whereas if you're going without knowing somebody who knows the ropes, it's a little more tricky to
figure there's definitely
out.
That safety there with somebody who kind of like knows the culture, knows how to get around, knows what's safe, what areas to avoid and things like that. But I also feel like with some research and like also just some like common sense, you probably could manage it too now that you're a more like experienced traveler too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, now that I have the experience traveling, I still don't know that I would try to go without a local, because I don't even know if they have Uber and stuff like that. That, like, not that that's like the key thing, but just like having that navigational component, making it a little bit easier, makes me more comfortable for some reason.
Or like not feeling like you have to be on edge about like getting scammed by.
Yeah, scammed by like a taxi or something.
Like yeah.
Yeah, which could easily happen.
I wonder how Haiti's doing, like, with like all their earthquake, you know, rebuilding and things like that, or if they're still struggling. It's not a country we hear about often here in the U.S.
Yeah, it really isn't. I know a couple years ago, I think there were a few more natural disasters in that area. And I know there's also, you know, they have riots and they have a lot of political issues going on. There's a lot of corruption in the government. So it's very much in a tumultuous state.
When do we know when they were liberated from France?
So they liberated themselves from France in the late 1800s. The slaves revolted against the French and they won. And that's the only place that's ever happened, which is really cool.
It's incredible.
I think maybe the drawback to that is, well, then you have a bunch of
government
slaves that have to govern themselves, and who knows how much education they actually had to do that.
Right.
Because, you know, if they grew up as slaves and they lived their whole lives as slaves, like how equipped are they going to be to self-govern? So that's kind of the sad reality, is
that they could still be even be recovering from that. And then on top of it, the natural disasters has made it difficult.
And I know, France actually demanded a large sum of money from Haiti so that they wouldn't recolonize it. And I think Haiti actually paid it, and it put Haiti into further poverty.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a long time ago. I think France may have paid Haiti back, but at that point the government in Haiti was so corrupt that it didn't matter.
It's sad. It sounds like a beautiful place, and I mean the people that I've met here in the States who are from Haiti are just lovely. And so I hope for the sake of the people and you know, and that beautiful country, that things improve soon.
Yeah. Yeah. We all hope it improves for people there for sure.
Yeah. Well, Jess, thanks so much for sharing your incredible trip with us. And we'll see everybody next time on the Marvels and Mishaps of Travel.